This is Sustainable East End, a show about land use, energy and water resources, transportation, and the farming and food industries on the eastern end of Long Island. With co-producer Tony Ernst, I'm Francesca Rhiannon. This week I talked with Gordian Rackey of Renewable Energy Long Island about recent developments in the fight to free the East End from reliance on fossil fuels. We spoke about recent action by the East Hampton Town Board to establish a community choice aggregation program. Also, a just-announced incentive program for businesses and residents to get battery storage when installing a new solar system. The controversy over the cable landing for the South Fork Wind Farm, new electric vehicle charging stations, and what the newly passed Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act means for the region. Gordian Rackey founded East Hampton-based Renewable Energy Long Island in 2003 to promote sustainable energy use. Here's our conversation. Well, Gordian Rackey, welcome back to Sustainable East End.
My pleasure to be there, as always.
We've got you on the show today because there have been quite a number of really exciting developments happening in the renewable energy space since we last spoke with you, the latest of which is that East Hampton Town decided to move ahead with legislation necessary to put in a community choice aggregation plan. Tell us briefly what community choice aggregation is and what does this mean for the town of East Hampton?
Well, community choice aggregation is a concept that's now accepted law of the land in New York State and a few other states like California. And it really, community choice aggregation gives communities a seat at the table when it comes to deciding where our power comes from, where our electricity comes from, and even where our natural gas supply would come from. So, you know, up to now, that decision was made in the utility boardroom with CCA. We can now make those decisions at the kitchen table, or at least at the town board table. So the town board of East Hampton is evaluating and pursuing community choice aggregation. That begins by doing some public outreach to the community to tell people what this is all about, what it entails, what risks, if any, come with it. And once we've done some of that outreach, the town board will put forward a resolution enabling legislation for a local community choice aggregation program, and then put, hold public hearings. And if there are any comments on that need to be incorporated in the legislation, they would amend that legislation accordingly, then adopt it if all goes well, and then put out an RFP, a request for proposals, for a community choice aggregation administrator that would be in charge of purchasing electricity on behalf of all residents within the municipality, within the township. This does not affect the delivery of power. This function stays with the incumbent utility, in our case, LIPA and PSEG Long Island, if it were on electricity, and National Grid, if it was also for natural gas. So they continue to manage the system and handle the delivery of power and energy, do the billing, etc. It would merely affect the decision where our power is coming from. And of course, we would hope here in East Hampton that our power would be coming primarily from renewable energy sources, if not only from renewable energy sources. And so we would have that choice. That choice wouldn't be left up to LIPA and PSEG, but it would be made by the town of East Hampton.
And also the last time we spoke with you, you said that community choice aggregation, or CCA, would allow the town to put out some incentive programs or community solar or battery storage. Talk about how CCA can expand more than just the choice of power, but also the kinds of programs that are offered to residents.
That's right. And that's something very exciting. I find that even more exciting than just purchasing power on the market, even purchasing renewables in the market. That's a good thing. But if we can run energy efficiency programs that save people money and reduce wasteful energy consumption, or if we can run, just like the utility now runs, programs that help reduce peak demand, doing that at the local level can make it much more attractive to local people, I think. And that could also include sort of bulk purchase programs, say, for example, buying solar energy systems or battery storage systems in bulk and offering the community a lower price as a result of that. We're already doing something like that. It's called the Solarize program. But we could expand that and maybe even one day offer, let's say, electric vehicles at a bulk purchase price. So CCAs offer opportunities to local communities that go beyond just purchasing renewable electricity.
So we just heard this week, I believe, that Governor Cuomo has given Long Island a several million dollar grant. Is it for battery storage systems? Tell us how much it is and what it's for.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, I just got off a conference call about that. So the state has made available hundreds of millions of dollars, actually, statewide to incentivize battery energy storage devices. So typically, battery storage systems would be lithium ion or other technologies now that can store electricity for use at a later time. And these technologies are now coming down significantly in price and are continuing to become more cost effective. Just as an aside, East Hampton is the only town on Long Island so far that has actually two utility scale battery storage facilities in operation. One in East Hampton at the Buell Lane substation, another one in Montauk. So we're talking about these types of battery storage technologies at any scale, whether it's at the residential scale, where it could be installed in a home, or at a commercial scale, installed at a business, or even at a utility scale, where it would typically be at a substation. The state is offering that incentive in New York City, in the rest of the state, and on Long Island. And the Long Island incentive just came out. A total of $55 million will be available in several tiers. The first tier now includes an incentive for solar plus battery for residential applications. And the incentive level right now stands at $250 per kilowatt hour of battery capacity. In addition, and that would have to be in conjunction with the installation of a solar photovoltaic electric system. So that's available for homeowners. And then for commercial applications, you can also get an incentive at the same level, $250 per kilowatt hour. It's a significant incentive that's now available that will make these systems much more common, which is a great thing.
Well, let me ask you, I happen to be in the throes of getting solar put on my home. I'm very interested in this. I think I have a typical system coming in. It's 7 kilowatts. So that would be 7 times 250. That would be the total incentive?
No. That's okay. So that's the 7 kilowatts is the capacity of your solar electric system. You would then need to talk to your installer to see what the right size battery storage would be for that system. And whatever that is, that's expressed in kilowatt hours. You know, so many kilowatts over, let's say, 4 hours would be what the battery typically could store. So if you size it, let's say, to, let's just assume you have a 7 kilowatt system, times 4 would be 28. Let's say you have a 28 kilowatt hour system that would then get you a rebate of $7,000 on that battery storage system.
Wow.
So it's significant, but those things still cost quite a bit of money too. But this incentive, this rebate is pretty amazing. We've never had anything like it, and it really is a result of New York State forging ahead on really making the transition to renewable energy a top priority. So I would say take advantage of it. Talk to your installers. Your system's not yet installed, so that means you can still add on battery storage. For systems that are already installed, already interconnected and operating, the rebate is not available. It's only for new systems being installed now.
And how much do they typically cost?
Well, that remains to be seen. I don't really have data on that yet. The price could be in the $600 or $700 per kilowatt hour range before the rebate. You still have some significant cost, but of course you would also have significant savings over time. Another thing I should mention is that the federal investment tax credit, the 30% income tax credit you typically get on a solar energy system from the federal government, from the IRS, would be available if you do this as a combined battery storage and solar system, would be available on the entire system. So you get the 30% not only on your solar electric system, but also on the battery installation, because it's part and parcel of the solar installation.
Wow. So that could pay for half or more.
Yep. That's significant. That will step down at the end of this year, unfortunately. But if you have the system in operation before December 31st, you should be eligible for that. Always check with your financial and tax advisor on that. I'm not a qualified tax advisor, of course.
That's great. You're listening to Sustainable East End. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, and we're talking with Gordian Rackey of Renewable Energy Long Island about recent developments in reducing our reliance on fossil fuels in East Hampton and on the East End. Now, moving on to wind power, there is a significant push in New York State to get offshore wind power and possibly onshore wind power really ramped up. And so what I'd like to ask you here, we have had a very painful controversy over the siting of the offshore wind now by Ørsted, the South Fork Wind Farm. Now there's a lot of controversy and issues over where the cable is going to come in. We don't really have enough time to cover the whole thing, but I wonder if you could just, A, hit the high points that you would like to make to counter some of the possible misinformation that's been spread, and then B, where are we now?
Sure. Well, I mean, first of all, we have to understand that we have a climate crisis, which we have to address. We have very little time left to do this now, because we've waited far too long. We should have started in the 60s, 70s, and whatnot. We have just about a decade left to reduce our emissions dramatically. The New York State legislature has adopted a climate leadership bill that requires us to reduce emissions dramatically, essentially to zero. And in order to do that, in order to avoid catastrophic and irreversible effects of climate change, we need offshore wind power. Certainly on Long Island and in New York. We cannot do this. We cannot meet our carbon reduction goals, greenhouse gas reduction goals, without tapping into this vast offshore wind power source. And so that's why Governor Cuomo in the state of New York has set a goal to have 9,000 megawatts of offshore wind in operation over the next 10 or 15 years or so. And the South Fork Wind Farm is the very first and very small project compared to what is in the planning stages right now. The next announcement we'll hear on offshore wind will be for 800 megawatts of offshore wind farms, possibly more. That will be announced anytime now. They would be situated in the Atlantic Ocean off of Long Island, most of them out of sight, you know, over the horizon, beyond visibility, pretty much. But, you know, I just want to make sure we understand that the South Fork Wind Farm is just the beginning of this transition to 100% or close to 100% renewable energy sources for the state of New York and eventually for the rest of the country and the world. So this first project has been criticized for being too expensive. Well, you know, when I bought my first laptop computer, it was too expensive, but I needed it. And by buying it, it allowed me to do what I had to do in my profession, but it also helped bring prices down. You know, when a new technology comes along, initially the prices are high, and over time, as the market develops, the prices come down. So is this project more costly than the next project would be or subsequent projects? Absolutely. But it helps us build an offshore wind industry here in New York and the rest of the country. And we will have many future projects that will be less expensive. On balance, this project adds a minimal amount to our average LIPA bills per month, somewhere in a $1.50 range or so per month for the typical residential ratepayer. So I would say it is not a very high price to pay for beginning the transition to renewable energy.
And of course, the price of not making the transition will be far, far higher.
Exactly right. And then, you know, then there's a lot of debate, of course, as to where the cable connection would come ashore. Here in East Hampton, the project has to be connected in East Hampton at the substation. And whether the cable, you know, there's discussions whether the cable should be coming ashore at Beach Lane and Wainscott, or whether it should come ashore at Hither Hills and go through Amagansett. People locally may have different opinions on that. But the bottom line is we need to have this power be brought ashore someplace. The Wainscott side is the shorter, the less expensive, and the less disruptive route. I'm not sure if it's going to go there. If it's not going to go there, then it would go to the Hither Hills route, which would be longer, somewhat more disruptive. But, you know, we can't bring this stuff here in buckets. It's got to come in by an undersea cable and go to the substation.
And it would delay the actual bringing the project online to go through Hither Hills by possibly a year or two.
It might take somewhat longer, yeah. And we really need to move quickly in switching to carbon-free energy sources. So any delay is something I don't really like to see.
Now, you know, people are beginning to talk about electrify everything. So we're talking about battery storage. We're talking about community solar, wind power. You mentioned electric vehicles before, and I believe the town of East Hampton has, in fact, put in or is putting in some new electric vehicle charging stations. Talk about the plans that we have for making the infrastructure for electric vehicles more robust on the East End.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, electric vehicles are a great way to lower carbon emissions and also other harmful air emissions from the transportation mobility sector. So we need to, you know, it's no good if you sell electric cars and don't have to have a place to refuel. So we obviously need to also build an infrastructure to charge electric vehicles and charge them quickly. You know, so that you can fill up in 20 minutes or 15 minutes or half an hour rather than just being able to charge overnight at home. The town of East Hampton has already put some charging stations in at the airport, at town hall, etc. But there are several proposals now. There's a proposal by Tesla and Energize America to put a large charging station up in Montauk, across from the post office in Montauk. It would have fast chargers that are able to charge a car within 30 minutes or less, both for Tesla vehicles and also for other electric vehicles. And so, in other words, people could park their car for, 20 minutes or so and fill up and enable them to continue on their journey very quickly. It would be in a parking lot. These spots would not be exclusive to electric cars. In other words, anyone can park there, but they would be limited in terms of how long you can park there, of course. So, the proposal would not really take away parking spots because they would be available to anyone who wants to park there, whether they have an electric car or not. And then there is a proposal also for Amagansett in a parking lot there to put additional electric chargers up there. And I'm sure we'll see more and more of that, and we will need more and more of that as people buy or lease electric cars.
Now, we've also spoken with you about the Energize East Hampton program, supplying smart meters and pool pumps to residents. What kinds of incentives, including that and others, are maybe in the pipeline for East Hampton and East End residents?
Yeah, the Energize East Hampton campaign and initiative is basically one-stop shopping for East Hampton residents and businesses who are interested in not only saving energy, but also helping to make this transition to clean and renewable energy sources and eliminating or at least reducing wasteful energy use. So we offer a free home energy audit to any resident in East Hampton, any homeowner in East Hampton. The Energize East Hampton initiative also, it's an umbrella program, really. It also offers the South Fork Peak Saver programs, which includes free smart thermostats if you have central air conditioning, or soon actually also for people who have these newer mini split systems, these ductless air conditioning systems. You can get free, Wi-Fi controlled smart thermostats for those as well. They even do the installation for free if you can't install it or aren't comfortable to install it for yourself. There are very aggressive, very rich rebates to install much more energy efficient pool pumps, variable speed pool pumps that can save you a significant amount of money on your electric bills if you have a pool with a pool pump or pool pumps. And we're offering the Solarize program, a bulk purchase program on solar under the Solarize East Hampton program. So those things are all still available and will continue to be available for the foreseeable future. And we may add additional offerings to that program roster. You can go to the Energize East Hampton website or find it on Facebook. Just Google Energize East Hampton.
That's great. And finally, we mentioned the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. What do you see the impact of this act on the East End of Long Island? What are some of the broad ways that you feel that this act is really going to change the game for us?
The Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act is a huge step forward in New York State. It makes New York State a leader in the country on addressing climate change and switching essentially to 100% clean and renewable energy sources. I think the importance for the East End, and especially for East Hampton, is that it validates what this town has done already since 2014, when the town board adopted 100% renewable energy goals for East Hampton. you know, to basically switch to 100% renewable electricity by 2020 or 2022, and ultimately by 2030, generate enough energy for all sectors that would be coming from renewable energy, including the transportation and the heating sectors. So what this act does is it basically mandates that for the rest of the state. I'm proud to say that we live in a community here where we had the vision, and our elected officials had the vision, to adopt these goals and then implement policies that make that possible already almost 5 years ago. But now it's happening statewide. That also means we will have statewide support for what we're doing in East Hampton and in Southampton. And we need help, of course. We need all the help we can get. And it's great to see now incentive programs coming forward from the state that help us do what we set out to do here in East Hampton and on the South Fork.
Well, that's terrific. That was a great update, Gordian Racky of Renewable Energy Long Island. Thank you so much for talking with us at Sustainable East End.
Thank you, and thanks, as always, for having me on the show.
You've been listening to Sustainable East End. We spoke with Gordian Racky with the nonprofit organization Renewable Energy Long Island. More information about the organization is online at renewableenergylongisland.org. Sustainable East End is heard on the third Wednesday of each month at this time. Programs are archived at www.sustainableeastend.blogspot.com. Sustainable East End is produced by Tony Ernst and me, Francesca Rhiannon.